Tonight we are on concept six, which on page C19 in the back of the 2021 through 2023 Red Service Manual, which reads, on behalf of AA as a whole, our General Service Conference has the principal responsibility for the maintenance of our world services, and it traditionally has the final decision respecting large matters of general policy and finance. But the conference also recognizes that the chief initiative and the active responsibility in most of these matters should be exercised primarily by the trustees members of the conference when they act among themselves as the General Service Board of Alcoholics Anonymous. Billy, you'll have until 2 minutes to the top of the hour, and the time is now yours.
Thanks. I'm Billy. I'm an alcoholic. And to that little joke about the Yankees, I always say this sometimes when people say that service is politics. When you're missing your favorite team playing, it feels more like commitment, not politics, right? So I'll just get that out of the way. Also want to share a little thing I saw this weekend, just because I'm always not above stealing any good idea from someone in AA. And so even though I hate that Florida gives out chips for everything in every meeting, it drives me crazy, but that's what we do. But this group, they just have a group chip they give out. But what I love about it, it has a QR code on the back of it. So a newcomer who gets one of these, they can go right to the group's website, which gets you right to the intergroup website. Teaches you about meeting guide app, a whole bunch of things that is really awesome. So good to see us taking advantage of technology. So tonight we're going to talk about concept six. Anyone that knows me knows this is perhaps my favorite concept of all concepts. If you have your service manual in front of you and you have the section that has the short form and the long form next to each other, it's also my biggest pet peeve. 11 of the 12 short form of the concepts make sure that they don't like get rid of an important part of the long form. They just shorten it down. The long form of concept six, on behalf of AA as a whole, our General Service Conference has the principal responsibility for the maintenance of our world services. And it traditionally has the final decision respecting large matters of general policy and finance. But the conference also recognizes that the chief initiative and active responsibility in most of these matters should be exercised primarily by the General Service Board, trustee members, when acting as a General Service Board. The problem with the short form is it only has part one. It only has part two. The conference recognizes that the chief initiative and active responsibility in most service matters should be exercised by the trustees when acting as members of the General Service Board. Part one of concept six is the whole thing regarding the charter and the division of power between the General Service Board and the General Service Conference. It states very clearly that on large matters of policy and finance, those belong to the conference. On large matters, and I'm going to have you turn to concept eight quickly because I'm going to turn back when we get to eight to six. But if you go to concept eight, it's like the opposite of concept six. It tells you what the responsibilities of the trustees are for large matters of policy and finance. It says the trustees of the General Service Board act in two primary capacities. With respect to large matters of overall policy and finance, they are the principal planners and administrators. They and their primary committees directly manage their affairs. So the trustees for large matters of policy and finance are supposed to administer, plan, manage, not be the final decision of large matters of policy and finance. I was listening to some recordings of some regional service events this weekend. I found very interesting a question that was posed from the floor to a trustee regarding the Grapevine app, which, if you're in the US and Canada structure, you probably know if you're active in service that the Grapevine app is way under its 5-year plan. And this is a 5-year plan that involved 7 figures of investment out of our reserve fund. And it's now 50% underwater, not reaching their numbers. And there was a question from the floor as to why weren't the delegates really consulted, and why didn't they go out to the fellowship to see if the fellowship really wanted this app? And then questions later on about should this have been a decision that conference made rather than the Grapevine board itself. I'm not here to say either one, but I think those are great concepts. It's a great concept six study about the division of power between the trustees and the General Service Board. Now, let's remember, just for anybody that's not been here before, that it's not an us and them situation. It's not a delegate versus trustee situation for large matters of policy and finance. The General Service Conference is made up of the 93 area delegates, the 21 trustees, the 6 non-trustee directors, and the 15 or so AAGSO and Grapevine staff members. So the trustees are part of that decision-making process that is supposed to be for large matters of policy and finance inside Concept 6. I'm just going to go through a couple of important things that are in here because there's another part of Concept 6 that I love, and I have found for any of you that might do service outside of AA, volunteer work, I have found it to be so useful. It says, just as AA groups find themselves unable to act decisively respecting world service affairs unless they delegate a great amount of their authority and responsibility to the conference, so much the conference in turn delegate a liberal administrative authority to the General Service Board in order that its trustees may act freely and effectively in the absence of the conference itself. Now, remember, the key word there is administratively. They don't defer decision making for large matters of policy and finance. It goes back to those words I always focus on of regular and ordinary decisions. It says we shall need to define clearly the several kinds of professional and financial skills that will always be required for a balanced trusteeship. Only by doing so can we permanently ensure the board's capability of future leadership. I would just throw a public service announcement out there. Not every trustee needs to be a CPA or a lawyer or a business executive or a publisher. For some trustee positions, particularly regional, AA leadership and service experience comes first. But that doesn't mean we don't need a certain amount of trustees who have real business experience. At the end of the day, we're a $20 million operation with a magazine business and then with a pension fund and $40 million or so, give or take $10 million here and there. We need people who know what they're doing. One of my favorite lines in all of Concept 6 is, when people say we're not a business, you have to define who where is, right? Like, what word are they using there? Are they using W-E apostrophe? Are they using where as in W-H-E-R-E? Like, what are they talking about? I think they mean which, like AA is not a business, and that's clear. Alcoholics Anonymous, the spiritual entity, is not a business. However, our three corporations are businesses. The General Service Board of Alcoholics Anonymous, Inc., Alcoholics Anonymous World Services, Inc., and the AA Grapevine, Inc. Alcoholics Anonymous World Services, Inc. is the company that came after AA Publishing. That was really our first, the Alcoholic Foundation's first service corporation was AA Publishing, Inc. AA Publishing, Inc. became AA World Services, Inc. And then later on, we have the AA Grapevine, Inc. But we talk about that we chose the corporate model, not the government model. And one of the most important lines in all the concepts is on page 20. It says, we should quite understand, too, that the conduct of our world services is primarily a matter of policy and business. And the conduct of those three corporations is primarily a matter of policy and business. And then my favorite line in all the concepts. Of course, our objective is always a spiritual one. So our objective is spiritual, which obviously for us is carrying this message to alcoholics who don't have it yet. That's our number one spiritual objective. But it goes on to say, but this service aim can only be achieved by means of an effective business operation. In other words, you can't just be helping drunks and like being like a teenager who thinks their parents have a money tree in the backyard. Like you have to be an effective business operation. We could go on a long 2-hour workshop about what is the definition of an effective business operation for AA. I'm going to make it very simple. It's an operation that spends less than it takes in. That's it. That's an effective business operation that you do not go into debt. If you're at your local intergroup or your local district or your local area and they are budgeting a deficit, I am telling you, you should be standing up and you should be talking about Tradition 7. There is nothing spiritual about budgeting to lose money. Here's what's not an effective business operation. I can give you a couple of examples of that. When you are planning a budget for AA, for a district, for an area, for any kind of AA entity, you don't simply add up your estimated expenses and then make the income that amount. That's called a fairy tale, not a budget. A budget is when you add up first your estimated income, and then you fit your expenses inside that income. That is an effective business operation. What is also not a good budgeting procedure is just to like add 3 or 5% on your revenue each year, that it's just going to go up, that contributions are just going to go up. A good treasurer has to look at the 5-year trend for the 5 years before. Is income going up or down? And if it's been going down, you have to plan on it going down. You can't just pull money out of thin air. You show me an area that's having an area, district, area, the General Service Board itself, in a group. I can show you a bunch of things that'll make it a non-effective business operation. One of those things, I'll start with intergroups, is when you cease focusing on contributions. Because contributions are hard and require great communication, and maybe officers going out to groups and talking to groups. So, one time is a lot easier. Let's just charge a dollar more for a book. Let's just sell more books. That's a big problem. If you look at organizations, inner groups that have had severe financial issues the last 10 years, it's because they failed to realize that digital literature was going to affect literature sales. I have my iPad and my phone right in front of me. I have two big books right in front of me on two devices that I paid for once. There's no doubt that people still love the good old hardcover big book. You know, they want the multiple shades of highlighting that are so bright they could blind people on the other side of the meeting they're in. But people don't buy as many big books as they used to. 20 years ago, people had a big book at their lake house, in their bathroom, on their nightstand, on their living room. They had a smaller big book in their briefcase or their knapsack if they went to school. Like, that's just not the case today. So an overdependence on literature profit is absolutely a recipe for a failing, non-successful business operation. A non-effective business operation. How about big parties? Inner groups love dinners, gratitude breakfasts, galas, Bill W. dinners, all these other things. And those are awesome to gather the fellowship together. I am the biggest supporter of them. But not if you're going to become dependent on that money and it becomes 20 or 30% of your overall enterprise. And then when we talk about tradition one and unity, how many fights have happened at inner groups over bumper stickers, earrings, jewelry? And how about this one? Oh, we're making so much money on AA literature. Let's sell non-AA literature. I leave that for the local decision, what kind of literature they want to sell. But if the reason they got into it was money, it's a bad idea. If they got into it because they want their members to get books like New Pair of Glasses, Stools and Bottles, The Little Red Book, I love those books. But if it wasn't the spiritual that got them into it, but the finance, you really got to check your motives because it's going to get you into trouble. If you look at the General Service Board and you look at the ninth tradition, we have literature revenue and we have contributions. The General Service Board takes in contributions and it passes that money over to AAWS to carry out our service function. If you buy a book from AAWS tonight online, your receipt for your credit card will say AA World Services. If you make a contribution tonight online, your receipt will say the General Service Board of Alcoholics Anonymous, Inc. People complain sometimes that we make too much money on literature. I want to get rid of that urban myth. Even as far back as 2015, 16, 17, if you took one pie chart and divide it in two pieces, our total service cost, about 80%, 75 to 80% was being paid for by contributions. Only 25 to 30% literature profit. What some people who like to gaslight people do is they like to talk about literature revenue rather than literature profit. Literature revenue has nothing to do with our finances. Because most of the money in literature revenue is for us to get the money back that it costs to make that book and print that book and ship that book. You 75, 25, 80, 20 is not a bad number. And that number is going down now. I don't know if anybody saw this June 30th financials of the GSB and AAWS, but literature sales are down 10% from last year. Net literature sales are only down 7%. That's because we raised literature prices last year. So we're making a little bit more on literature than we were last year. But the percentage of our services funded by literature keeps going down. But we're very strict at the General Service Board level about money. Our reserve fund policy is that we have a reserve fund with 9 to 12 months. Right now, as you know, it's down to about 6.1 months because we needed money during COVID. We do have a policy if we have too much money. The policy says that if the reserve fund is over 12 months for longer than a year, the trustees must come up with a plan through its finance and budget committee to reduce the reserve fund. That's why if you look at AAWS's finances prior to COVID, it makes some kind of money every year. But you'll see 2 years that we lost money drastically, 2001 and 2002. What's important to understand is that we did that on purpose. The reserve fund went to 13, almost 14 months for over a year, which triggered the requirement that the trustees come up with a plan through AAWS. AAWS budgeted to lose $600,000 2 years in a row by doing some extra projects that we had put off for a long time. That still wasn't enough to get us right-sized. If you were an AA at that time, you know that in 2002, we approved the new big book. In 2003 or 4, it came out, whenever it came out. But that was the fourth edition of the English big book. The first printing of the fourth edition big book was a dollar less than the last printing of the third edition. Now, we knew we would probably sell like a half million, 800,000 books. So we planned to make 800,000 less so that the reserve fund would come back. Because at the end of the day, and I'm going to give Dee something and Brooke something to put into this, one of the greatest articles you could ever read about AA finances is titled Corporate Poverty. And it was a presentation given by a treasurer of the General Service Board who then became a Class A chair. His name was Gary Glenn. His name is Gary Glenn. He's a trustee emeriti. It's such a great presentation that corporate poverty is what keeps us as an effective business operation. Enough money to pay our bills, enough money to plan to put a little money away for bad times in the future, but not so much money because one of the things that I can say AA is for sure the worst at is excess budget spending. When we see we have extra money, there is not a project we don't love. And that is not the way to fund projects. We should plan and think about what we need in the future. But I'm telling you, I don't care if you're a district committee, an area committee, an area, an intergroup. You tell an AA group of people that we have extra money and hands go up in the air right away as to how we need to spend that. Now, I'm not against spending it if we would have spent it no matter what, that it's a good spiritual plan to help alcoholics. This whole thing, one of the things about lodge matter, because I always get the question, what is a lodge matter of policy? Because as we know, you can ask people in AA certain questions and they have different opinions. I can tell you sometimes when things go really bad. In 2008, the AAWS board decided it was going to put the big book on Kindle, on Amazon Kindle. But they didn't tell anybody. At the 59th General Service Conference in April of 2009, AAWS announced to all the delegates present, and not in a good way, by the way. It's not in the suggested trustee handbook, by the way. I think the person was maybe a little over excited, or, but they said, we're not telling you for our permission. We're just telling you because we're going to do it in 2 months. Statements like that don't work in Alcoholics Anonymous. I became a director right after that conference. As some of you may know, the first Amazon Kindle project was a complete disaster. I guess I could pick on baby boomers as I always do, because many of the people who were involved in that decision didn't even understand the technology or what they were doing. And once Amazon put the big book on Kindle, what happened? I don't know if you've looked at Amazon or Kindle lately, but you can leave your own personal book review of a book. You don't have to be like some celebrated person in the New York Times who reviews books. So all of a sudden, hundreds started showing up a day. People saying AA sucks, AA's a cult, this book is old-fashioned. I mean, I could go on and on and on. And because nobody prepared anybody that this could happen, the fellowship went nuts. And we took the big book off of Amazon Kindle in August of 2009, 2 months after it went up. That led to one of the biggest financial boondoggles in all of AA financial history. We decided we were going to build our own e-reading platform. I don't know if there's any e-reading experts in the meeting tonight, but what I can share with you is that is not a cheap endeavor. And actually, for 2 years, we had a thing called the AAE Reader. It had its own trademark, was a blue square with a double AA yellow with two crosses across for the crossbar of the A. And we started selling ebooks. And then by 2013, everybody realized, oh my God, we're going to need a help desk with 30 people sooner or later. We are not a software company. We don't have the infrastructure to keep updating this software. We don't have the money to keep hiring consultants. And we need people to answer the phones at GSO to help people who do service. And now 20% of the calls that were coming in were from people whose e-readers didn't work. That was like a $400,000 investment. But I bring it up in concept six because generations change, even a year at a time. And by the time the board looked at it 6 years later, the board decided we have to use what everybody else uses. We have to use Apple Book. We have to use Amazon Kindle, and we have to use, I'm trying to think of the name of it. It's Barnes and Noble's Nook. It's the Nook. AAWS had the authority to do that all on its own. But we voted unanimously that this was a large matter of policy. The fellowship loves the big book. They love their textbook. And we decided that even if we had the authority, it was too big a matter of policy. We were sending it to conference. And we sent it to the conference literature committee. And the conference literature committee sent it to the conference floor. And the conference floor voted in favor that we should use. And that's been going great since then. And we don't have any help desk department with 20 people. And we don't have to keep investing. I see some really crazy comments online, so I just want to copy about. I want to comment on them. People say, don't buy books from Amazon. Buy them from AA World Services. I hate to break it to people, but it's the same thing. Okay? Whether you go into a Barnes and Noble and buy a textbook, or go on Amazon and buy a big book, AAWS is getting a cut of that book that you buy from Amazon. Same with Apple iBooks. Same thing. But what a better way it was to do than to accept that this was a large matter of policy and we should go to the conference. Now, I've talked many times before that we have this pendulum that swings. Sometimes the conference gets too micromanaging of the trustees and the trustees push back. Sometimes the trustees treat the conference like a rubber stamper and then the conference pushes back. I think that's a very natural progression of in AA. Every couple of years, it swings back and forth. But when you look at concept eight with concept six, you know, people say, like, what is a board's job? The board's job in AA is the regular daily business. The retirement benefits, the medical benefits, the office that we sit in, the new furniture, the leases for copy machines. That's all daily routine business. And we should stay out of it. And hopefully, we're electing the right people to be trustees, and they're electing the right people to be directors, and our business operations are smooth. But not large matters of policy. Those definitely belong to the conference. And sometimes we hear that, well, that's none of the conference's business. That's a very arrogant statement. Unless it's an HR issue or a sensitive legal issue that needs confidential discussions, we're an open book. Conference approved literature. That's why it has to be approved by the conference. That's why there was so much debate around the plain language big book. Most of the debate around the plain language big book wasn't around, there were some people who are against it, I know. But there were many people who were for it, but not for the process. They didn't like that the delegates were only given 2 hours to look at it. Because if it's conference approved, shouldn't that mean the conference gets to look at it? And for all our conference literature, it has to come through the most of it, 90% of it comes through the conference literature committee. Sometimes it goes through the corrections committee, sometimes it goes through the CPC committee, if that committee has jurisdiction of that piece of literature. But the annual contribution limit is not set by the board. It's set by the conference. This year we raised it to 7,500. And you're allowed to leave $10,000 when you die one time. No revolving trusts, no kind of setting up deals with a lawyer who sends $10,000 a year forever. Nope, we take $10,000 one time, and it has to be from the member who passed away. We get tons of checks from family members who die. And we get a letter from their lawyer who says, "Oh, my father or my mother or my wife, my husband, our family was saved by AA, so I wanted to leave you some money and we have to return it." Because that large matter of policy has been decided by the conference. Someone called me a couple of weeks ago wanting to know where is posthumous anonymity listed by in the conference actions. Well, it's listed in the conference-approved book, Understanding Anonymity. Sometimes people don't realize that our conference-approved literature, like the AA group, that's one big advisory action. That is our group conscience. Same with posthumous anonymity. And I hear people like, and unfortunately, it's very disrespectful to people who die and their families. We have a policy of the posthumous anonymity on the co-founders now that we didn't used to have. We can say Dr. Bob S. and Bill W. were the co-founders of AA. We no longer use their last names at all outside the fellowship. When you die or I die, it is your personal decision. I want to stress that. It's your personal decision if you want in your obituary that you were a member of Alcoholics Anonymous or what AA meant to you. The conference has also gone far enough inside understanding anonymity, which is conference approved, that we don't interfere with your family. They have the right to not make you anonymous when you die if they want to publicly talk about you as an AA member. But we as a fellowship do not break past members' anonymity. You know how many times I hear at a podium somebody say, "And so and so said this," and I can say their last name because they're dead. Well, unless you're related to that person, and by related, I mean their next of kin who had authority to make decisions for them after they died, you don't have a right to do that. That's not what we do. I quote Don P. and Tom I. all the time. I do not say their last names. If their families would like to say their last names that they were members of AA, that's awesome. But that's a large matter of policy that was dealt with by the conference. The trick here is knowing what's a large matter of policy and what's not. And show me an argument in AA service over the years, and I'll show you where somebody thinks something was handled the wrong way. Either it wasn't handled as a large matter of policy, or it was handled as a large matter of policy, where the board feels like the conference overstepped, or the conference feels like the board completely overstepped. But the real, I just want to go to one thing in here. There's a paragraph on page 20, the third paragraph. It says, "AA World Services, Inc., including AA Publishing and the AA Grapevine, Inc., these entities, as of 1960, have combined gross receipts approaching $500,000 annually. Our trustees are also responsible for AA's worldwide public relations. They're expected to lead in the formulation of AA's policy and must see to its proper execution. They are the active guardians of our 12 traditions. The trustees are AA's bankers. They are entirely responsible for the investment and use of our substantial reserve funds. The very wide range of their activities will still further seen under Concept 11, wherein the work of the five standing committees is described." Our reserve fund is interesting because we have a policy on that too. Number one, our reserve fund is not an endowment. That's a large matter of policy. You look at other nonprofits, charities, universities, nonprofit hospitals, they get a pile of money. They make as much money on that money as possible, and they use it to pay current year expenses. We don't do that. We don't have an endowment. There are only a couple of types of financial vehicles that our reserve fund is invested in. And invested is a real stretch of the word investing. One is cash. If it's in one of our savings accounts in the reserve fund, we might make a little interest on it. The second is a treasury bill, a bond guaranteed by the United States government. We hardly make any interest on them. The third is a certificate of deposit, your good old CD at your neighborhood bank. If you are the kind of person that reads our financials closely, you might see the term CDAR, CDAR. If you don't know what a CDAR is, in the United States, the FDIC, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, guarantees bank accounts for up to $250,000 per bank. So it doesn't matter if you have four accounts, FDIC will only back $250,000 in that bank. So what a CDAR is you can go to your bank, you could give them $1 million, and they will find three other banks to take the other three sections of 250. That's what a CDAR is. That's how restrictive we are on our reserve fund, that it's not supposed to be used to pay current year's expenses. Now, our pension funds are governed by ERISA, the employee retiree, I don't have the acronym in front of me, and it's too late, but if you are the trustees of a pension program or a 401k or a 403b, you have to operate under ERISA, and you have a fiduciary responsibility to get really good investment returns for the people who you're managing their retirement. So our retirement funds at GSO might be in index funds or mutual funds that make high interest because ERISA says make as much money for your retired as employees or people who someday will be retired as possible. But our reserve fund, which is a large matter of policy, we do not use as an endowment. Let's see, there's a question here. If a deceased member was completely open about their relationship to AA and always used their full name within the program, would that make a difference if someone broke their anonymity at the podium? No. You do not have the right to speak for them. Only their family does. And by the way, if you could help get the word out, I know it was very popular to say your first name and your last name speaking at a speaker meeting, even at a regular meeting. But we have a group conscience about if you're being recorded, don't use your last name. But no, even if they said their last name all the time, you're not their family. Our policy is we let the family break it, we observe their anonymity even after death. Anyone have any other questions, particularly about concept six, effective business operations, large matters of policy and finance? I will wait a couple of minutes. I will cheat a little and go to concept seven because I'll dive into concept seven next week, but the last paragraph of concept seven is so powerful. I just want to read it in relation to concept six. The trustees in their deliberations will constantly realize that the conference is the real seat of ultimate service authority. We may be sure that neither will be seriously tempted to make a rubber stamp out of the other. We may expect this way. In this way, grave issues will always be resolved and harmonious cooperation will be the generous rule. But that's a pretty strong word. Constantly realize that the conference is the real seat of ultimate service authority. The only time ultimate and final are used in the service manual or the concepts are in relation to the general service conference. And I can tell you, it happens to everybody. It took me a little while to wake up. Just think about it right now. We're electing a lot of people right now to be delegates. We're electing a lot of people to be area officers for the first time, secretaries, registrars, area chairs. In 10 years, those officers will be delegates. A lot of them. What about in this December and November when we start electing the new crop of GSRs? The craziest GSR that you're electing could be a trustee in 20 years. Like they might be 2 or 3 years sober, and they might be a trustee in 20 or so years. That's the beauty of our fellowship, that everybody has a chance to serve. And when you go down the upside down triangle, there's no chapter in the service manual about this, but if there was, I would gladly help write it. Is there is a spiritual sickness that can seep in to an alcoholic's brain, particularly their ego. And I've done it. I've gone from the top to the bottom. And when you become a delegate and you get to go to New York and you get to vote, I mean, it is like if you are into AA service, that experience is life-changing. And then someone calls you a couple of years later and says, Billy, the nominating committee just selected you to be the next non-trustee director on AA World Services. And then a couple of years later, you get the call that the nominating committee selected you to be a general service trustee. When you go down that upside down triangle, it's possible to have thoughts in your head that I know better than the groups. That's why they elected me. And it's a wake-up call to all people who go down the service upside-down triangle that we have to remain respectful to the groups and the fellowship. Thanks to somebody who wrote, yes, the Employee Retirement Income Security Act, ERISA. What are your thoughts about the GSB reserve fund policy? Well, I'm trying to think. My service manual is close. I actually like the reserve fund policy. I'll just make sure that I'm not making it up. Let's see. It's definitely a mistake in the current service manual, so I hope they fix that. The reserve fund belongs to the trustees, yet in the current service manual, it's in Chapter 9, the board's operating corporations. The reserve fund does not belong to the board's operating corporations. I don't know how it wound up in this chapter. But if I go to page 64 of the current service manual, Established by the board in 1954, the principal purpose of the reserve fund is to provide financial resources necessary, and I want to stress these words, to continue the essential services of AAWS Inc. and the AA Grapevine Inc. in the event of an emergency or natural disaster. That sounds perfect, like why we had it for COVID. It says to fund costs beyond the means of AAWS and Grapevine, such as major leasehold improvements or technical upgrades, and to allow the General Service Board and its operating corporations, operating affiliates, time to formulate and implement plans to adjust to changed economic or other conditions. In other words, if we are making an investment in laptops or computers or construction, we might use the reserve fund for that, especially if it's above 9 months. I do struggle with any belief from any AA trusted servant leader that the reserve fund should be used to pay current regular bills. Now, during a pandemic, yes, thank God it was there. But any use to use it as like a savings account, that's what it was never meant to be used for. We're supposed to be self-supporting on our income this year. Let's see. Like yourself, I grew up in AA. I sit as a trustee on four different boards. I have trouble separating AA business principles and business operations. Have you ever had trouble separating principles and the concepts in outside life? Yes, of course. I was actually talking about it this weekend, not financial principles, but other principles. First of all, I'll say this when it comes to financial. In other charities or nonprofits that I serve, when you say the only way to reach your spiritual aim is to be an effective business operation, they look like you, like you're Gandhi. Like, where the hell did you find that nugget of gold, right? I have found that many charities and nonprofits, no different than AA, they love to spend more than they take in because they usually have some great mission to help people. But I've always found that you have to have your AA hat, and we wear one hat at a time, as the traditions tell us. I was talking this weekend that, like I'm involved in a very large homeless organization. And they talk about things like harm reduction. That makes my AA brain explode. But apparently, in the outside world, for people who are maybe not real alcoholic, there is this thing called harm reduction. And I have to have an open mind. And I have to remember that I'm not in AA at that particular mind. Now, if you want to see my head blow even further, it's when a class A or somebody else inside AA talks about us being harm reduction. We're death reduction or death prevention. We're not harm reduction. We're real alcoholics, and to drink is to die eventually, or wound up being locked up for the rest of your life in a mental hospital or a prison, or God knows, in a facility with wet brain. So yes, to the person who wrote that, first of all, thanks for your service outside of Alcoholics Anonymous. Thanks for doing what the big book tells us to do to be of service to the world about us. Thanks for taking any skills maybe you learned in Alcoholics Anonymous service and bringing them to the outside world. Those are amazing. I tell people all the time, I learned how to use Excel on a young people's committee. I learned how to use WordPerfect on a young people's committee. But the tradi that's why it's so important. When I said when we started with concept one, you can't understand the concepts unless you understand the traditions. you have to embrace the traditions first. And so the tradition tells me no wearing two or three hats at a time, Billy. When you're in any AA setting, in your AA group, at your AA district, at your AA area, at an AA podium, at the board, you're just an AA member, and all we have is AA. And sometimes it's hard for people to, at the board level, we want people to bring lots of expertise in finance and law and accounting and information technology and publishing, all things that have nothing to do with our recovery program. But when it comes to recovery from alcoholism, we just have the 12 traditions and the 12 steps. That's it. We don't have anything else. We don't have, the outside world has lots of things. One of the hardest things for me to wrap my heads around with organizations, your question is so good, outside AA, is that most of those organizations have very strong opinions on outside issues. And they publish their opinions. And in AA, we don't do that at all. So the best advice I can give you is just try to remember where you are and what hat you are wearing. So we have time for one more question if anyone has one. Well, then I'll just give a public service announcement to forget about all this service manual nonsense and concepts, geekiness, is that please be aware, although it's not published anywhere, all you have to do is be around AA for a couple of years, and you know that we're going into heavy recruitment season. If you go to anniversary meetings in January or February or March, you know that they are double and triple the rest of the year in the United States. Like this time of the year, and I know big book thumpers want to tell me that every day is the same day. I think I used to say that stupid stuff. But the truth is, every day might be the same day. But this time of year, on regular human beings, never mind alcoholics, going into Thanksgiving and Christmas and Hanukkah and New Year's. First of all, we're around our families more. That's enough to want to make you drink more. We are in all kinds of social settings, at parties and all kinds of things. Just please, be on the front lines at your local home group, wherever you hang out. There's a lot of new people who are going to be coming in the doors the next 30, 90, 60 days. So that's it. Thanks, Brooke. Have a great night.
All audio and video files on the District6AA.org website or the District 6 in Area 15 YouTube channel are for personal use only. Reproduction, distribution, and commercial use are not permitted. In accordance with District 6 current practice, no faces are shown in our videos and audio is scrubbed for anonymity prior to publishing. Contributors whose voices are heard have given record and release consent. Opinions expressed by the presenter are their own and do not necessarily represent the group conscience of District 6 as a whole.